Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's episode does not follow our regular format. There will be no hack and there will be no one thing. Today's episode, we're going deep. 3.5 years ago, my guest started a digital magazine while he still had a full-time job. Fast forward to today, and my guest has turned his side hustle into a seven-figure media company called Founder. In our current social media and business landscape, all successful businesses are now in the media game. This doesn't mean that we all produce podcasts or have YouTube channels, but it does mean that we are producing media in one form or another and using that media to find and attract customers. In this episode, we go deep into scaling a media company. Now, let's go deep with Nathan Chan. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by DesignCrowd, a website that helps startups and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphics, logos, and web design from over 500,000 designers around the world. Check out designcrowd.com/hack, designcrowd.com/hack, to learn more. Plus, you will receive a special $100 VIP offer when you start your next project. That's designcrowd.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest joining us for a second time. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Johnny. It's an absolute pleasure to be here, brother.
Yeah, it's all my pleasure, man. All my pleasure. Glad we could do this. I had you on the show, it's about a year and a half ago, and from what I've seen, a lot has changed with Founder in that time. So I'm hoping we can sort of dive deeply into some of that stuff.
Yeah, sure thing, man. Yeah, it has been a while. Time flies, eh?
It does. I know, man. I know. I was in Vancouver last time. I can remember the office I was in when I talked to you, because that was the first time I talked to you. Now I'm over in Toronto, so that's how I'm keeping track of time these days.
Awesome. Living the dream.
Yeah, totally. So how about you give us, or like give the listener sort of like an overview of Founder Mag, how you started it, and sort of like where you've come to, so we have sort of a jumping off point at this.
Sure thing. So I launched the magazine March 2013. First business, didn't know anything about apps, anything about content, design, digital, marketing, you name it. So it's a digital magazine on the App Store and Google Play Store, and it's about entrepreneurship. And what we're trying to do with it is really just help and serve aspiring, novice stage, and young entrepreneurs with just great content that's really actionable, that really helps people, you know, build a successful business. And as time has went on, we've become much more than a magazine. So I started the magazine while I was in my day job. It took me about a year to build it up, to replace my income and cover operating costs. And then after I left my day job, started to get into some other forms of media, whether that's a podcast, you're really doubling down on blogging, and driving a lot of traffic to our hub, you know, the Founder website. Then we started to, you know, get into social media, and in particular Instagram. We've had a lot of success on that channel to really scale it up. And then, you know, we created an email newsletter where we produce a lot of content exclusive to people on our email database. And then we started to get into more premium content as well, whether it's, you know, a membership site with gated content, or, you know, a one-off course, whether it's, you know, something around Instagram or webinars or sales or you name it. We've got all these kinds of courses in the works. So essentially what's happened, Johnny, is still 99% of our content is free. We're producing a crap ton more of it as time has gone on, and it's only getting larger, the amount that we're producing. But we're really trying to distinguish the difference between, from a business model standpoint, free content versus premium content, and really build a product suite and and you know, a product suite that has a range of, you know, paid products which can really help and serve entrepreneurs. But if people aren't into the paid stuff, that's cool too, you know. We have, you know, 20 plus free ebooks. We just produce a lot of content, and we really try and pride ourselves on producing, you know, really, really actionable stuff. Like, you wrote a great blog post for us, man. That was really, really killer. It was really well received a while ago for your book launch. And yeah, man, you know what we're trying to do. Like, it's this really high kind of, like, you know, going deep, you know, what we're doing now.
Yeah, totally. So 3.5 years ago you started, it was like a side hustle for you at the time. Now, I mean, you have sort of like different sort of like verticals of finding people, right? Like, so from podcasting to blogging to social media to outreach like this, whatever it is you're doing. But what was sort of the first thing that caught that you were like, or was it sort of like a, let's just throw a whole bunch of stuff and let's, like, did you kind of half-ass all these things first, or did you go deep into one and then when you kind of hit a good point, you were like, okay, let's go to the next one? Like, how methodical were you?
Yeah, super methodical. I'm being a little scrappy right now because I'm learning. You know, I think part of growth is, you know, having great people around you, taking the business to a next level. And you know, you can't do it by yourself. I can't do it by myself anymore, Johnny. So I need to get, you know, all these amazing people that are super talented to help scale. And that's, you know, that is a learning curve in and of itself of managing people. So I've been a bit scrappy for a while, but going back to this methodical phase. So to answer your question, up until this point, I've been very methodical. So the first thing, I launched the magazine, the first thing I was super methodical with was mastering App Store SEO and, you know, really understanding what a great magazine issue looks like and really understanding how to get these rock star entrepreneurs and influencers onto the front covers of our magazine and getting them to tell great stories and give a ton of gold advice and then utilizing those rock stars as almost ambassadors to allow us to spread the word for the brand. But the first piece methodically in terms of a growth channel was App Store SEO. And then the second piece was definitely Instagram and podcast at the same time.
Yeah, you went huge into Instagram, which you still are, but like you were, to me, in this marketplace of entrepreneurship and like the interviews of entrepreneurs, you were the first one that I saw. And now it's like, it's a heavily saturated marketplace, which I'm sure you've noticed as you've taught more people saw you have huge success in it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, definitely, you know, we've been actually, it's like a 2-year birthday now on Instagram where we're closing in on 1 million followers. And definitely 2 years ago, I was talking to someone else about this. There was nowhere near as many of these, you know, accounts that post just images with text like us, mainly, not many, you know, and then, you know, startup tips, startup facts, you know, these motivational tips, quotes, you know, all those bits and pieces. This wasn't really that rampant, but now there are quite a few, but still, you know, it's still 400 million, 500 million active monthly users. You know, that's a big market, man. Like I would argue or challenge that I don't think it's saturated, but it's definitely, you know, there definitely more people.
Yeah, fair enough. So it would have been, I'm assuming you probably would have taken a different approach to early growth if you were starting today than then because of the difference in market is my guess, but I guess that's hard to know.
Yeah, look, everything that I know with like how to really use Instagram as a source of traffic and build a community there really quickly, I'd still do again. Like, for example, me and my girlfriend, we're launching a business just for fun. It's all her business, but I'm kind of just helping behind the scenes. And it's going to be a e-commerce product. It's going to be a drink bottle. And we're going to use Instagram to just really, really, you know, get a lot of traffic and a lot of sales from it. I think it's probably going to be our only channel. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, a different market, totally different niche, and, you know, how it all works. But I'll be using the same approaches for sure.
Nice. And just to prove it out to yourself that it works in other markets as well.
Yeah, of course, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're at multiple 7 figures at this point, 3.5 years into it. You started it as a side project. How, how often does your sort of scope of what you can accomplish with this company from the time you started, did you think that, well, if I could get to like $100,000 a month, that would be amazing? Or, you know what I mean? Or did you start like, no, I'm going to take over the world with this thing? I'm going to like, how has your sort of mindset in that sort of growth mindset, how has it shifted, and how often does it continue to shift because you realize how far you can actually push this?
Well, man, when I first launched on the first day, we made $5 on the first day. And I was like, yep, I hope I can make enough money to cover operating costs and pay myself a salary, which was like, you know, $5,000 a month in recurring. And it took me about a year to get there. And, you know, once I got to that, I was like, well, what's the next step? Let's try and get to like 10. And then once you get to 10, like it just, this is one thing I can tell you, Johnny, is these I wish or I hope or when I get to here, things are going to be changed or things are going to be way better. It doesn't change. It's just, the goalposts just move. Like it's literally so the mindset always has been like, so you see these small increments of revenue growth, you know, user base growth or email list growth or whatever. And once you hit them, I'm pretty bad, you know, just even looking back, I don't even celebrate them as much as I should, man. It's just kind of like, yep, what's next? You know, like, okay, now we've got to get to this. And, you know, if we're stagnant, I'll just constantly try and mix things up. Like right now, I just got a business coach to take things to even another level. So yeah, it's funny you ask that. The mindset just, I guess, evolves over time of what's possible.
Right. And so fair enough, because I know that people like listening are probably, I mean, you're 3.5 years ahead. You have a business that you scaled really, really, really well. And you have a business model sort of worked out now, but the 3.5 years ago, you didn't have this business model. I've heard you talk about like why it's important to work your business model out along the way. So can you kind of like explain to us how you look at a business model and how you see it as either like a concrete thing or how it is just this evolution that continues to grow?
Yeah, really great question. I think, you know, that's what a startup is, right? A startup is a company that's confused or they don't know what their business model is. And I think, you know, I think having the thought process of this is the value we're providing and this is how we're gonna, you know, generate revenue in exchange from this value. You know, it doesn't always, you know, I see so many businesses, they always seem to change, you know, and you have to be prepared to change. So when I started the magazine, it was just the magazine. It was, you know, recurring subscription-based business model. But then I quickly realized that, you know, the market wasn't big enough for a $299, $21.99 a year or $299 a month magazine to generate, you know, multiples of millions of dollars every single year. It just wasn't there. When you're doing okay and, you know, you're not far off Entrepreneur, Fast Company, Forbes in the top 10 rankings in terms of top grossing, you can quickly work out that the market isn't there. So you kind of have to, I guess, speak more than anything. What you need to do is you need to speak to your current customers. You need to speak to people that are in your audience, in your community, your target market, people that might be interested in your product or your service. And you need to find out what their biggest problems and frustrations are. And for us, I slowly worked out that, you know, with the magazine, that's just one product. And, you know, we're essentially a content-based company and we don't have to just produce a magazine. We can, you know, get really good at content on the blog. You know, we can build, you know, really strong social channels. But those social channels, more than anything, are there to bridge the gap between, you know, joining our community, you know, signing up to our email list, maybe converting over to becoming a, you know, a paid subscriber of the magazine or, you know, our membership site. So as time has gone on, we've just approached it like brick by brick. And the way that we've evolved the business model is just finding out what people want, finding out, you know, how we can tweak it in the sense of I like recurring revenue. I think that's a really, really strong element of any good business because it just brings predictability. So, you know, part of our business model, my goal is for us to have at least, you know, 50, 60% recurring. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. And, you know, that's a big goal for me, because with that predictability, that allows us to scale even faster. Like, always the goal should be for us in terms of recurring. Your recurring should, you know, be over and above what your operating costs are, but the goal should be to first get it to, you know, your recurring is your operating costs, and then everything once off is pure profit, and you can reinvest that profit for growth. And yeah, for us, you know, that's the kind of way I think about it, is just building blocks, finding out what people want, and then kind of shaping it out along the way. And the cool thing is with our business, Johnny, is, and same for you too, is when you're in this media space, you can build an audience around free content, and as long as it's great, you can do tests and you can put things out. You don't even have to put anything out publicly. You could, you know, do some Facebook ads to, you know, and retarget to some people that have been to your website, just a small, really small segment. Put 500 people through a funnel and just see how it goes. And if it sticks, well, then you maybe go big scale on it. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's what we've kind of been doing with the courses, the membership site, the magazine, everything, you know. And we've just kind of just been building on these blocks and building a, now more than anything, a product suite with, you know, a strong differentiation between free content and premium content. And the way I see this going, Johnny, is we have the magazine on the front end, which is the face of the business, always will be probably, but then we have a hybrid educational, you know, based platform on the back end, whether that's through the membership site, whether that's through eventually, you know, this book as you know, another, you know, low ticket item that leads from the front, and then you've got your courses. And I think we should be doing eventually courses at scale taught by experts, and then bundling that all into one big recurring one day. I don't know when that's going to be, but I think, you know, that's how the business model looks for us. So it's kind of something that's evolved over time. I never worked it out, never knew this is what it was going to look like, but just tested, man, and just changed and we fell flat on our face with some products that just you wouldn't even hear of, you wouldn't know about, no one would know about, and no, it's not any traction.
Right, and that's fair. And it's interesting because your products are like your courses and stuff are probably one of your biggest drivers of revenue right now, because you're not at that 50% recurring, which comes from your magazine or from the membership site.
Yeah.
But you want to sort of get to that more recurring because of the consistency of it, right? It's just a better way to approach business when you know how much revenue is coming next month, once you know your churn. So when you asked your customers, or you asked your readers, or you asked your listeners, whatever it was, and they told you a course on Instagram domination. To me, it almost seems like a disconnect between like entrepreneurs and like Richard like Branson issues, and then teaching Instagram. But it's what your people wanted. Like, was there any reluctance where like, no, I should be teaching you how to scale a company because that's what you want to learn? And it's like, no, we want to know how to get 10,000 Instagram followers. I don't know. Did it feel like a disconnect? Yeah. But you were like, no, I got to listen to my audience. They're going to tell me what they want.
No, it's a great question, Johnny, because here's the thing. People still desperately want to know how to scale a company. People desperately in our audience still want to know how to even start an online business, because we've surveyed them. We've surveyed them. And you know what's interesting is 30% of people, you know, we emailed our database of 250,000. And within 24 hours, we had 3,000 people respond and we closed it off. And out of those 3,000 people, 30% hadn't even started a business yet. So it's interesting that you say around the Instagram piece, because I agree. You know, when I did that Instagram course, and this was my foray into courses, I didn't even know they were going to get into that stuff. To be honest, I felt a little bit scared to do it. I didn't know if it was for us. But, you know, we were doing – what happened was, and this is the test piece, we wrote a blog post, because everything we learned, like, you know, hopefully we crush it with this Kickstarter campaign. And if we do, we will write a super in-depth blog post just sharing exactly what we did. And, you know, when we grew our Instagram following very fast, we wrote a blog post on it and it just went semi-viral, man. Still to this day, that blog post generates 20,000 monthly unique visitors.
Wow.
And yeah, that's just one blog post. And people just kept asking, like, Nathan, do you do consulting? Or Nathan, can you guys do this for us? And I was just like, I don't really want to do consulting, so maybe I'll do a course. And, you know, some of my friends, like, just create a course. And that's why we created that course. With full honesty, Johnny, I didn't poll our audience. I didn't survey them like we have now. I didn't have a roadmap of products like we do now that we're working and of ticking off. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened, dude, where it was just like, yeah, we tested out this course. It kind of went gangbusters. People got crazy results. And then it's been quite a strong product for us. But, you know, one, it's not an evergreen product. Instagram will die. And like you said, you know, there is a level of saturation there. It's not as strong as it used to be, but it is still very strong. It's still quite a hot platform. And the content is an evergreen. I think in terms of scalability and leverage, I think one of the most beautiful things you can do is you know, create an asset that can stand the test of time 5 years from now, and you can use technology to, you know, automate the sales cycle, the sales process, the nurturing sequence, you name it, and then you move on to the next thing, and that's how you scale, right? You set up some sort of process and you automate it as much as possible, either through technology or people, and then you move on to the next asset. And I think, you know, that's how we will continue to scale Founder. We'll just build more assets, dude, and we'll try and grow our existing ones. And I can talk about more how I want to grow our existing ones, because I've had some really good realizations in the past 3 to 6 months, actually.
Yeah, let's do that. So you have these assets, and now it's true you can continue to build more assets, but you also probably want to get as much as you can out of existing assets.
Yeah, and that's a tricky line. Like, how do you know when to move on to the next one? And you don't. So this is where you have to make the call, dude. And this is something that I've learned in the past 3 to 6 months. Is the reason that, you know, on Shark Tank, you know, Mark Cuban or any of these guys ask, you know, what's your CPA? What's your cost to acquire a customer for X product, or, you know, whatever, your service or your product or this product or whatever you've got going on? What's your cost to acquire a customer? And what's your LTV? What's your lifetime value of that customer? And the reason they ask that question is because these investors, when they want to invest in a company, they want to scale it. So it's, you know, 10, doing 10 million, 20, 30, 50, 100, 200, 300, half a billion. Like, that's how fast they want to grow it, really fast, and they want to scale it and grow it as fast as possible to get a return. And I think the reason that they ask that is because to truly scale a company, you have to know your numbers and you have to have a strong form of paid acquisition as part of your growth strategy. Now, this is something that's been very foreign to us with full transparency, Johnny. Like, we've done a little bit of Facebook ads, but never really capitalized on it. We've never really known our numbers. We've just kind of used all organic. And organic can only get you so far. You can only, you know, like, your organic, yes, it's going to grow slowly, and your blog posts are going to get out there and do the work and the technology, and you're going to get your backlinks, and, you know, your podcasts are going to get listened to, but it's not as predictable as paid traffic. And a realization I've had is, yeah, you can create all these assets and you can, you know, move on to the next one, but you can leave one kind of going. So I think what you need to do is still have a strong sense of organic with the blogging, the podcasting, you know, the content producing, all forms of content marketing, social, you name it. But I think you really need to know your numbers and you really need to scale that as fast as possible with Facebook ads or Google. You know, I think Facebook ads is the platform right now in terms of paid acquisition, just because it's so powerful. And yeah, man, that's where it's at. Because if you give Facebook a dollar and they give you $3 back, as long as you've got margin there and as long as you've got profit, you'll keep going and going and going and going and going until, you know, that's how you can grow at a really fast rate, and until you hit really truly market saturation, then you move to a next target audience that you're going to target. And
but you have to know your revenue model, because you have to know your LTV of your customer, right?
100%. So I think that's kind of the next phase for us is really, really getting good at paid acquisition. And I think a lot of what I'm reading, a lot of people I'm speaking to and friends, that's how they take it to, you know, the 10 million plus. You need to have a really strong sense of paid acquisition.
Yeah. How much have you learned from the people you've got to like interview for Founder Magazine? Oh, man. How much have you learned and got to like sort of sponge their ideas off of them to grow your own company?
Oh, dude, so much. and the thing is, dude, I won't be able to do the interviews in the next year or so. Hopefully maybe you have me back in a year and I probably won't be able to do the interview. I won't be doing the interviews, man, because it's not scalable, right? Like for me to keep it going, I got to get some other hotshot journo to do these interviews because it's taking up a lot of time and stuff. And I love to do it. But yeah, look, I learned so much, man. Like it's everything, dude. Like, and I know you must be the same. Like you must be like a treasure trove of just absolute gold, man.
Yeah. You talk to just brilliant people doing brilliant things all the time. And you can like shape the conversation around what you want to know at the time.
Yeah. So you ask selfish. You ask selfish questions all the time, right?
Of course. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, me too, man. Like, and yeah, it's definitely a competitive advantage you have when you can do this.
Exactly. So we get to talk a lot about how we choose like the next project, and I think you've sort of given us a really good glimpse into how you do that, talking to your customers and also determining where you want to take your company. So it's not just what your customers ask, but you have to know like sort of your roadmap ahead of you so you know what you should build. Which brings us to something really, really cool that you, as of like we're recording this and this went live just a few hours ago, but the new book, right? The new founder version 1.0, Lessons from the Greatest Entrepreneurs Today. So it's a new book. It's not just like an Amazon book that lots of people just release and it's going to be $2 and it just, this is literally like a hardcover, beautifully laid out, like coffee table book that's going to dive into these brilliant entrepreneurs' minds that you've had the honor of getting to talk to. Did people ask for this? Is this part of your growth strategy? Where does this book fit in? And also sort of like, then let's give the listener the pitch for the book, because I think it's absolutely fully recommended on my part.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Combination of things with this one, which you might find interesting. So you did something similar, dude, which I thought was very, very smart. You know, it was only a few months ago that I growth hacked how you schedule up interviews, and I embarrassingly scheduled up something for us just because I wanted to go through the whole process. And you are very, very smart by doing that, because I think as content producers, there's a lot out there and sometimes people just don't have time to get through it all. So it's just kind of like, you know, Tupac, man, he's got his greatest hits. And, you know, this book for us is our greatest hits, you know, of thousands upon thousands of hours worth of content. But then a few, you know, it was a few different things. So, you know, it was really smart, that play that you did of doing the whole greatest hits play. But for us, you know, I've had this idea to do a greatest hits play for a while and do exactly what you said, like just do an Amazon play. But then as time went on, you know, we get a lot of questions. Can we get the magazine in print? So many times. And I met this guy probably about 12 months ago, and he prints a magazine in a totally different niche and market to us. It's in the health and fitness niche. And he told me, you know, his business model, his numbers. And I was just absolutely amazed, like what he was doing with it. And you know how people say, you know, and you know, the prints are really, you know, really rough trade. And like, you know, if you're going to print a magazine, it's not a viable business option. And I was one of those people because, you know, you have to spend a lot of money printing it and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, this guy just goes, he cuts out all the distributors. He probably will involve distributors in the near future, but he's got the model worked out really, really well. And he just goes direct to the consumer. He prints the magazine for a couple of bucks, and he sells it at $20 a month. And the biggest takeaway I had from his conversation is he said, Nathan, when someone has something in their hand, it changes the relationship with that person. And also when he said, when somebody has this thing in their hand and they can see it, it just changes the level of credibility that the brand has. And that's what he said he'd found. And that really stuck with me. So a combination of people not like wanting to see something in print, a combination of us in terms of our product suite, we don't have anything that's between $50 to $100. Another piece where we needed a best of greatest hits album. And then another piece around, I think Kickstarter's a brilliant platform that has a really strong audience that could help us tap into the mainstream. So this would be a really great branding exercise to lead with the front of getting people to purchase the book and then potentially, you know, letting them know about some other cool stuff that we've got going on that might be a great fit. And yeah, just wrapping all that together, it just felt right. And it's been such a fun project. And there's something really magical about Kickstarter. It's pretty much, you know how people do launches, dude? Like, you know, the product launch formula, the sideways sales letter and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, smashed with 20 emails over 2 weeks or whatever it is. Kickstarter, if you do a Kickstarter, man, it's such a lighter sell. And you really put your company or your brand on the line, or your personal brand or whatever on the line, saying this is who we are. This is what we believe in. This is what we're making, and we need your help. And it can't come to life unless, you know, as a community member, being part of our community, you help bring this to life. And there's something really special about that. So that's kind of how it all came to life. And dude, I'm a massive fan of testing and selling something, you know, before you've built it. And that's what we're doing, right? And hopefully, something that people care enough about that we'll be able to fund this project.
Yeah. And I mean, when you look at the book on the Kickstarter page, I mean, it's an idea that you will get to. Like, you've spent a lot of time, energy, and resources, like getting the design ready, collecting the content. You've put a lot into it already. So it's not like you're totally just like, well, I have this idea, and if you guys give me a bunch of money, then I'll get to it. You just have to print it at this point, right? I mean, you've done a lot.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much, dude. And if we don't get the campaign funded, we would just finish the book and just sell it digitally. Like,
right.
And there is always that fear that, like, you know, this coffee table book, there is a perception that coffee table books just are there for show to sit there, and they're not actually a book you'd read or have a look at that much. And I'd hope that's not the intention for our book. So maybe it's the wrong play. Maybe it's the wrong positioning. Not sure, you know?
I think it looks awesome. I think based on everything else you've created in the last 3.5 years around Founder, that it will be better than any of us are expecting. And absolutely just, it'll be worth the book. Absolutely. And worth your effort and worth whatever shipping costs it costs to get me a giant book sent from America up to Canada. But I just literally went live hours ago. I've already backed it, and I fully endorse anybody to go take a look at it. We'll link to it in the show notes, the Kickstarter, but otherwise you can go to Kickstarter and I'm sure find it under Founder, FOUNDR, and it'll come up there. You are claiming it as the best startup advice you will ever receive. So yeah, let's just go with that.
Awesome. Well, look, you're far too kind, Johnny, man. Thank you so much for the kind words. And look, the goal is, like, you know, to get this into the hands of as many people as possible. I believe this book can change lives, and I really would love anyone's support. If you're, you know, an aspiring entrepreneur, novice stage entrepreneur, an experienced entrepreneur, I know that you'll get value from this book. We've been very, very lucky, as you said, Johnny, to interview some of the greatest entrepreneurs of our generation. So we've just compiled all their best pieces of gold and wisdom into categories and sections that, you know, wherever you are at in your journey, you know, their advice sitting with them at the round table is there for you on your coffee table that you can draw on. I was going to say, if people, we do have a link, a pretty link, if that helps. It's just foundermag, foundrmag.com/book.
Awesome. Right. That was the link you sent me as we started this, and I missed it. So yeah, starting at $5, if you even don't want the book yet, but you want to check out some versions of the magazine, three, I believe, versions, digital versions of the Founder magazine, you can get for as low as $5. And then starting at $20, $20 Australian, which I think is just less than 20 US, is the...
About 15.
Yeah, about $15, you can get a digital version of the new Founder version 1.0 when it goes live in early 2017. Nathan, once again, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks for doing everything that you do. Thanks for sharing with me and the listener.
Yeah, look, thank you so much for having me, Johnny. It's always a pleasure, man. Always a ton of fun. You're a great interviewer, dude. You ask the best questions. So really appreciate going deep with you, bro.
Nathan, once again, thank you so much for joining me again on the show. And thank you for sharing so openly. I will link to the show notes. I will link to Nathan's previous episode on Hack the Entrepreneur about a year and a half ago, when he was just 2 years into the business. And that's the standard format we follow there. So I'll link to that for you, as well as foundermag.com/book. Make sure you check it out. All right. So it's been a lot of fun. Drop me an email if you get a chance. John@hacktheentrepreneur.com. Let me know what you think about the going deep and how topics you'd like me to cover, maybe how you think it could change or be better. I love getting feedback from you out there. And the feedback so far has been that you are digging these going deep. This was our third one, I believe, and there's more coming very, very, very shortly for you. So I'd love the feedback. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. All ratings, reviews on iTunes are more than welcome. If you have 2.5 minutes, head over there or wherever it is you listen to podcasts right now on your phone. Go into the app and leave a rating and review. It does help so, so, so very much. And I know you've heard that a lot, but... you know, it helps. All right. This has been a lot of fun. It's so cool that you stop by every single time. You know that I totally appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.